Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter @Radio Detectives. And check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcasts. Today I'm highlighting Public Domain Video Theater. And that is a twice a month video version of this podcast where we will play a movie or television program that's in the public domain and provide commentary afterwards. You can find it at videotheater.greatdetectives.net and on our YouTube channel. Starting next month, we'll have two new features. We'll be playing the Bulldog Drummond films, and then we will also be featuring episodes of Racket Squad. Check that out again, videotheater.greatdetectives.net or at our YouTube channel. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of Squad Room. And the previous episodes of Squad Room we played starred producer-director Win Wright. And we'll get back to that in a couple weeks. But the main advertised version of Squad Room that gets referenced more often than not starred William Zuckert as R.J. Scanlon and Chuck Webster as James Brady, two NYPD police detectives. Now, the dating of these episodes, as well as the rest of the series, is hard to figure out. Radio Gold Index puts today's episode as being aired sometime in 1954, but that may not be right. We'll talk about that more after the episode, but here now is the Squad Room episode, Mother of Two Murdered.
Squad Room, the second floor of a precinct house. Up these stairs come the guilty and the innocent. On duty desk, R.J. Scanlon and James Grady, detectives first grade.
The address? Right over. Grady, woman resident reported dead, 210 Elm. There's children involved.
210 Elm at this hour? Well, it's an old office building. Nobody lives in that block of old loft buildings.
Chuck, take the desk. Barney, Officer Barney, you up here?
There are three or four doors each hall, these floors.
Barney, which of these doors? Great, put out the cigarette, it's gas.
No, I got it out. This one, Scan. Must be the only one without a padlock.
Barney! Wait, Eek. All right, we'll hold it down to talk. Open the door slow.
I hope Barney kicked out the windows inside. You get that odor?
Yeah. Barney, when he called in, excited, woman, he said, and a 7-year-old, an infant, both boys.
Doc. Oh, no, I'm not reaching for any light switch. It's gas. He kicked the windows out, but why did he leave the door closed?
Get a chair or something. Door's got a big spring. Close it. Woman over here on the daybed. Guess Barney didn't wait. He got the kids out fast, her two boys. No, I guess he found the boys still alive.
See dead Scan? Woman, the mother?
Yeah.
Gas heater over here.
Accident, huh?
Coroner. Pipe's busted. The union in the elbow where it makes a bend into the wall.
Coroner, yeah. See if you can find if Barney got them out, those two boys.
Squad Room continues in a few moments. But first,
Officer Barney got the children over the hospital scan. The boy, all right. 7.
Prop that door more.
And the big one, the 7-year-old, named Michael. The infant, 7 months, Stephen. That's why Barney didn't wait. He saw the mother was dead. As soon as he kicked the windows out, he grabbed them and hauled them out. The boys. Say, it's still heavy, that gas, huh?
Mm.
Oh, the coroner will be here in a minute. No, the kids are all right, just scared.
Studying this fixture.
They're terrified. I tried to talk to Michael, the oldest. Dr. Hevmeyer told me to lay off till they got the boy calmed.
Broken, but I don't know, this pipe fitting him. You have to get Livingston here with his lab crew.
It could be accidental. That pipe looks like it was patched.
Yeah, bad, bad, poor job.
Soldered
once, at least once. Here, the joint, you see.
Oh, you can't just solder onto that stuff, a pipe like that.
Well, it's no plumber's job. Get that bed.
No, I don't want to move too much. The coroner's still not here. Are there any marks? Her body?
Bruises, no. Mouth's open. There's some contraction here, neck muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, died in his sleep or what? Gas came on her sudden in her sleep.
Well, then how about the kids?
They slept over here. No, you're right. The kids would have gone under first gas.
Slept, yeah. The baby and that wooden... That's a shipping crate. No blanket in it.
Poor people.
Well, they're agencies. We got agency scan taxes to take care of this kind of thing.
Big kid, the 7-year-old.
Slept in this old armchair. This old sheepskin work coat for a blanket.
No. I don't know what we got here.
No milk, no food, no icebox, and certainly no refrigerator.
Their old loft room, great big high metal ceiling, only these boarded up two back windows facing out against the building next door. There's no light, no air, it's cold. People bring up kids. This is a loft manufacturing building.
Well, I'd better go down and see if the coroner's got the right address.
In Livingston, too, huh? His crime lab crew up here. Sure, they probably think it's a mistake, this address. Nobody in their right mind would raise kids here. And the husband. About time we got hold of him. Who's this? The husband?
No, the super, the janitor scan, a man named of, what's your name again?
Joe.
The super, superintendent of this building. That what you told me?
Joe what? That her? Under the chief? I got nothing to do with it.
All right, relax.
I didn't want him here. Who wants a woman living here? Kids. Got enough on my hands. Two-bit manufacturers. Most of them can't get up their rent. Landlord, he sticks me with that job, too. Cleaning these shacks ain't enough with these old wooden beam floors here full of splinters. Why, them stairs, the whole building could be caving.
We want the family name here, this husband.
Oh, here. Landlord's home number. Wrote it on the card. Call him. I don't know nothing. Creeps. Give me the creeps. Stinks gas. Let me out of here.
Crone, that it?
We'll call the landlord.
Family name this dead woman here and where we can get a hold of her husband.
Becker. That's their name. Now, look, don't get me involved. I got kids of my own. Mister, I don't care who you are, what you are. Pigs are better brought up. You don't bring up kids where there's manufacturing like here. I came up here 3-4 times, fixed that gas heater. I gave them that heater for my own good heart. So at least the little ones, they don't freeze. Yeah, that woman's better off where she is, under that sheet. He's got big ideas. I don't know where...
Just a minute.
I don't know where the devil you'd find him.
You fixed that gas heater?
You got my name. Now let me out. I'm just the cleanup man here.
Look, Sarge, I told you I don't know yet. Accident or something chargeable.
Grady.
Well, Sergeant, what's the... Grady, did you hear yet from the coroner?
No, Stan. I told you. Still no.
Well, that's the whole point, Sarge, huh? We're looking high and low. Yes, for the husband. Yes, yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know what he's upset about. We've been looking. Whole squad. He knows there's no sign of this husband, this Becker, Arno Becker.
Arno? Where'd you get the first name? Nothing in that loft apartment with their name on it.
Well, the landlord, Tucker, called him. He's coming in.
Sergeant wants to know we marked the husband fugitive. I told him, fugitive from
what? Well, a man's got a right to be away from his home.
Well, then you go downstairs. Tell him, huh?
Well, you can't mark anybody a fugitive till there's a charge. Suicide, accident, or intentional homicide. Oh, the landlord, Tucker, sort of thought, intimated that this Becker, the husband, might be out looking for jobs. Grady, detective, yeah?
Jobs?
Well, yes, we'd like to get our hands on him.
Who is it?
No, I didn't mean it to sound like that. No, you don't print it as violence. Not coming from anyone in this police department. No, we don't know where he is, the husband. No, we don't know if he knows his wife is dead.
Newspaper?
Well, I don't care what your reporter picked up, what some neighbor said. Not until we got an official cause of death verdict. That's right, the coroner. Now, you boys know where to reach him. You've called him enough. That's right, official 2020. Call the morgue.
Let me talk to him.
No, he hung up.
Who was on?
Oh, you know. Him, Letter, that wise guy used to handle sports. On city desk. Nights now.
Night editor.
Yeah. For years, these people, they live like pigs up in a 70-year-old matchbox of a building. With no furniture, bare splintered floors, no heat, Now everybody's interested. Sergeant tells me they've been getting calls one after another. People that have heard about it. Holiday season.
Yeah, no.
Story, big story. Human interest.
Big show. People mean well.
Well, that doesn't solve a case.
Come on, see if they'll let us talk to the boy, Michael. Juvenile aide stepping in, moving him to the shelter.
Dan.
Waiting for you in the lobby.
You get to talk to the kid?
The shelter people inside, well, they say the kid's disturbed. Yeah, the official guardian, let me talk to him. Talk a minute.
Real rough.
Well, come on.
Oh, no. It's cold out. I'd rather talk to you in here. Find out what the kid, the boy Michael, told you.
He's 7 years old. All he remembers, he woke up coughing in the dark. No lights, that loft place, ice cold. His baby brother was wailing, sobbing. Boy, a kid, what do you want? Huh? Ran to his mother in the dark and yelled. She didn't move. The father wasn't there. Come on, will you?
Oh, yelled. I want to come on. I'll just take it.
Well, you go up once and try interviewing that poor little kid. He yelled, shook her in the dark. She didn't move, and the kid... Well, he grabbed the baby, ran down to the end of that top floor hall with that broken hall window, stuck the baby brother's head out to breathe, and he kept yelling. Barney in the prowl car, that's when Barney heard him. We got to find that Arno Beckergrade, the father.
Got to find him.
Yes, sir, thanks. Thanks, Mr. Crone, for coming in. We'll talk to your janitor, your superintendent, now. Yes, sir, if that's all you know.
Grady. Oh, Joe, the super now?
Yeah, bring him.
All right. Come on. Up to the desk there, please.
Nobody's going to bite you.
Well, Mr. Crone, the landlord told you,
Told you before. Just relax.
He told us very little.
Well, what do you want to do? Put me in the middle of it? I told you, I fixed the gas heater. I told you I was the one felt sorry. I gave him the heater free. I didn't charge because of her and those kids the winter.
Now, just how did you fix that heater?
Am I on the witness stand here? I know ahead of time she's going to leave it on that careless without a flame in it, get herself killed. How do you know? Maybe she wanted to get killed.
How, please?
Fixed. Well, she came down to me. She says, gas. I got a gas smell, and I'm afraid with the baby, and...
She said when?
And then I...
Remember just when this was?
I says, look, lady, I give it to you, but you got a perfectly good husband. And he seems to have a lot of time on his hands. And anyway, he knows the house better than me. He rebuilt the joint.
Rebuilt?
Well, of course. He worked a year, fixed the place. That's all he did the whole year, worked like a maniac.
Well, you're the super, right?
You do the fixing.
Look, talk to the landlord. Get him back here again. I don't want the whole thing back on me.
We can get Mr. Crone back anytime we want.
Now, let's work from you first, huh?
I don't own the house. Ask Becker. He did. He was in with Crone. How come you think he's still living there?
He's scamming, yeah. Say, Mr. Crone, the short, fat man who was just up here with us, Crone, did he go out of the house yet? Yeah, I want him right away. Send one of the uniformed men. Maybe still catch him out in the curb getting in his car.
I heard you. That's why I don't like to talk too much, see? I don't know, some kind of tragic thing here, sure. I had to fix her up that heater 3 or 4 times. For some reason, them pipe mends I kept making kept breaking. Kid playing there, knocking over the gas heater? I don't know. Sure, Arno Becker was once partners in the loft building. Well, heck, it's not up to me to tell you the whole deal. I'm only the cleanup and lockup on the joint. I've been working for Mr. Crone for 11 months. What the heck? I got 10 better buildings around the corner I superintend. You think I care?
Uh-huh.
I don't like to see no woman suffer. No kids, fellas. I got no interest in that woman. I fixed that gas heater pipe the correct way. I even laid out the 98 cents for the fitting. And I also had to buy a can of some pipe plumbing compound. I'll show you the wrenches, the old pipe I sold a scrap. I'll take you around the hardware supply. They'll tell you how hard I worked to get that heater leak tight.
Squadroom continues in a few moments. But first...
Come on, Grade. No, the landlord drove away. Get him back later. Yeah, you, Joe, the super. Come on, well, we're waiting for the coroner's final, Grade. That gas heater you say you fixed? Another look. Let's get back up to that loft room.
No, it's all right, Scan. Libby's finished the fingerprints up here.
Well, sure, my prints are going to be on there. I fixed
it. No, the whole room, just routine.
It's just routine fingerprinting. Don't be so jumpy.
All right, here. Well, look. You're going to talk.
Oh, we looked.
There's the pipe man. Here, see? It's a good job. Anything wrong? There's what I did. Now, you tell me how that got loose, how it broke. Sure, I ain't the world's best plumber, but I fix pipes with heavy water pressure around these buildings, not just gas. They don't break or come loose.
Hold it. Huh? Who's downstairs?
Well, I think the captain detailed Maddie to stand guard the downstairs door. Nobody's getting up past.
I don't hear nothing.
Now, no. You just...
Oh, I'm not mixing.
No, it's not from the stairs, Grate.
The window, that broken window. It opens on the air shaft, courtyard, or whatever it is.
All right, hold it.
Police officers!
Ah!
Freeze, you! Grady, now, shine your light. Come on, he was trying to bridge in from the building across.
Hold it, you!
It's a 60-foot drop if he falls down, Scan, between here and the building next door.
Hit the bottom, the stairs.
Maddie, get around back! Out into that courtyard, a man! Get him when he tries to get out from next door! No sign, no sign, Scan. Dark!
I lost him with the flash when he got down low.
Maddie, maybe he didn't come out of this other building at all next door.
I'll come down.
No, I checked, Scan. Checked every door, every floor when I came down.
Coming down now.
Every door still got a padlock, Scan. Bring that super Joe down.
I don't know. Maddie, get out front. The car and radio. I don't know. Chased around, Maddie, you and me, the super here. Shine, shine, waste a flashlight. Go ahead, go on ahead, Grade. Maddie out front, the curb with the car.
Yeah, maybe located as this Becker. But that was who was just trying to break in upstairs.
Coroner's report, finals maybe come in. All right with that horn, Maddie. Grady's coming out. All right, Joe. Helpful, not so helpful. Walk, huh? Now, look. We don't want half.
Not after me. I told you what I told you. I'm only to clean up.
No one can't use these half statements.
All right. Get Mr. Crow.
Start to finish. Details. And don't leave anything out this time. Come on, please. Let's get out of this junkyard. Why, all these tenants, these manufacturers, just throw trash down out of the windows from up there? Come on. Get the sanitation department. Give all these business tenants summonses.
Scan.
Yeah, we're coming up. Come on. Going to get you face to face. You and the landlord, Mr. Crone. Find out what's going on here.
All right, step on it, Scan. Barney and the boys on Mulberry in a radio car. They got a cut and bleeding man, Becker. Arno Becker, the husband. Yeah, he's the one. He admitted it. How he got the injuries. He was a man who just tried to crawl back up into the loft here.
Squadroom continues in a few moments, but first...
All right, you heard what the ambulance man said?
No.
Grade, what do you
no.
think?
No.
The ambulance attendant wanted to take him in because of the head?
No, let me go.
Well, he won't. What are you going to do?
Head? No, not the cuts. Glass cuts he got from that broken window upstairs.
I'm all right.
Well, what are you going to do? We got to interview him. And if something really is wrong...
It's our funeral and his, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, come on, mister. Do yourself a favor. We'll run you over to Mercy Hospital.
Now, don't keep saying no. You got a head injuries. Nothing shows, but you never know.
Why'd you go after me?
After?
I fell. I heard you. I saw you shine the light.
You fell down four stories.
No, in the gutter. I fell down just a ways.
Come on, huh? Sure, he's going to come, Craig. Pull our car.
Well, you should stop when police officers come.
All right, Grady.
Why'd I try to climb back up in?
Huh?
She's dead. Jess, where's my kid?
All right, easy, fella.
That building, I knew it.
Sure. Now, you're hurt. You wouldn't listen to the ambulance. Now you're going to come with us, huh? The hospital.
I worked a whole year. I lost my interest in it. I didn't do anything for a whole year. Just build. What good is it? Did it mean anything?
All right, get out of the car, Grade. Give me a hand. We're going to have our hands full getting any information out of this man. He acts like this here.
You heard what he said, the doctor? I'm all right.
Close it, Grady.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
We'll interview you here, this little waiting room, as long as the doc gives you a clean bill.
Scan, you want the final...
The coroner, yeah.
Thanks. All right.
14 hours, about. We've been looking for you.
You're a hard man to find.
Well, really, it wasn't crucial.
No, not until we got this final coroner's report. No. Crucial now.
For you, Becker. Gas. It was gas, but it's not accidental.
The business. I wanted to go into it. Some people can't work for anybody else. They wouldn't work for anybody. I never got along, never did good on a job.
How can we...
The business. But I needed space. Where are you going to get manufacturing space? Even a dirty old loft building. You know what they get a square foot? It's funny. One day I was up in the professional building, the 10th floor. I happened to look down. There's this skylight place. Big skylight on this 4-story loft building below me. And I could see the roof was in bad shape. The building didn't look like it was in use. I ran down. I found the place after an hour trying to remember the location. It was boarded up, the whole building, the main door. I went around up and down the other buildings till I got the landlord's name. I saw him. I offered him the deal. He said, sure, go ahead, fix it up.
A deal?
Fix what up?
Fix his building?
Yeah. I couldn't afford an apartment, a wife, kids, and a manufacturing loft, too. I wanted to go into business.
Without capital, huh?
I did. I started to work. All the dough I had in the bank, 2,000. I bought cement, sand, lumber. Once I started, I found I had to have great big piles of 2x4s. That's all I did, day and night, work, rip the place apart.
You mean you did all of this by yourself?
Night and day. Day and night, all by myself. Nobody do that. That kind of heavy work all by yourself. I'll never do it again. I did. Put in new electric wiring, new floors, straightened the stairs. They were impossible before, or break your neck. And great big holes, the ceilings, and the rats were having all kinds of social life in the walls.
Yeah, well, what's this got to do with this?
I worked. Oh, I had to work no end. Made a bathroom. You see the pretty bathroom?
Bathroom.
I never did that kind of work before. Tile. No, I ran out of money for the rest. Never finished. Yeah, I think Crone's using that for the super. Gave it to him for a broom closet. The hall bathroom.
All right, Gritty. Becker, it's my duty to read you this report.
Yes, this report from the coroner.
On your wife. Cause of death.
Oh, please.
Something to tell us first?
Huh? About the gas fixture? That gas heater?
I moved her in there. With the kids. Right after the little one, Stephen, right after she brought him home.
An infant from the hospital?
Up into that unfurnished loft.
I had half the building. That was my deal with Crone. He was swell. But he had an offer. After I did the fixing, the man on the first floor of the air conditioner service store, he wanted to buy my half interest, the building.
Now, Mr. Crone, he gave you half the value, half actual ownership in return for all your repairs.
$10,000 I got. And he let me keep the top floor back to set my business in. Rent free, yes, sir. After I sold to the air conditioner man.
You did sell, huh? Sold your half.
Helen said, take the 10, put some down on a new little house and get a job. Work for somebody. We'll be well off. Put the rest in the bank. I lost it. I lost it on a bad business gamble. It became our home. For good now. The loft. With the kids. No money. I was borrowing from Crone, but then I couldn't anymore. I've been trying, officers, to get business capital.
Mm-hmm. Lost the whole 10,000.
No house and no home.
I turned the gas on. I broke the fitting. I'm no good. I should have listened.
Killed her?
She was nagging me. The place, the horrible place, she kept saying. How long with the kids? The gas, I Broke the fitting that Joe fixed.
Gas, huh?
Coroner's report here on your wife. Lint, feathers. Lint feather particles lodged in her throat. Not the gas.
I tell you, I...
Gas didn't kill her. Now, what did you do? You choke her, strangle her with a pillow, and then break the fitting again and turn on the gas to make it look good?
Might as well come out with this straight. Yeah, the gas would have killed her.
Wanted it to kill me?
I don't think you did. Wanted just enough gas to pass it off as suicide or accident. Hiding the last 14, 15 hours, you acted like you still had a pretty big urge to live. Why'd you try to climb up, break in?
It's to see. Oh, no, I wouldn't hurt the kids. I went downstairs slow, just slow enough till I figured there'd be enough gas smell. Then I was going to call, yell for police. But Michael...
The oldest boy.
Woke up, grabbed the baby, stuck the baby's head out, and yelled.
It beat me to it. The radio car came. I knew the kids would be all right. Yes, sir, I did the pillow. I killed her. The gas was a trick. I'll sign you everything I said.
Trick, huh?
Look what I got her into. Now me?
You, huh? Ever think of your kids?
Squadron, the true-to-life enactment. Today on Duty Desk, as R.J. Scanlon, Bill Zuckert. James Grady, Chuck Webster. Joe, Earl George. Becker, Hugh Thomas. Squadron is produced, directed, and transcribed by Wynn Wright, written by Peter Irving. All names are fictitious. Any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This is Phil Tonkins speaking.
Welcome back. A solid, realistic story that feels very much in the spirit of Dragnet, while also highlighting some abusive practices by New York City landlords of the time. It manages to not overdo the emotion while still providing an emotional edge to the story. Now, I do want to go ahead and talk about our stars. Bill Zuckert was a noted radio character actor at that time. His career went back to the early 1940s, and he had a very long-lived career. He didn't really leave radio until the mid to late 50s, but when he did, he really charted a career as a TV character actor of the most prolific sort. From Decoy and Naked City to Star Trek, The Partridge Family, Diagnosis Murder, and Walker, Texas Ranger. While there are certainly series that Bill Zuckert didn't appear in between the late 50s and the mid-1990s, you'd be surprised how many of your favorite shows he was in. Chuck Webster was also a character actor, but without near the longevity of Zuckert, as he dropped off the map in the mid-1960s. Neither Zuckert or Webster were the type of actors who'd be chosen for leading roles at the height of the golden age of radio. But in the mid-1950s, with so many big-money radio actors moving to television, actors who'd built their career as solid supporting or character actors like Zuckert and Mandel Kramer, who starred in several series, were getting a chance as leading men, and Zuckert does a good job. Now, dating these episodes is tricky. The series was on the air from 1953 to 56, and we know that Zuckert and Webster didn't feature in all the episodes, as we have episodes with Wynn Wright starring. And those were dated when I received them as 1954. And these episodes are popularly dated 1954. They're marked as programs 17 and 18. But it's hard to tell what series that might have been from. Like, might these have originally been aired in 1953? And again, where do the Wynn Wright episodes come in? Could it be possible that Wright took over the lead from Zuckert for a period? While it's tempting to suggest that he might have been required to step down as Officer Scanlon when he accepted the role of Lieutenant Louis Parker on NBC's Crime and Peter Chambers, that's not really how radio tended to work. A lot of actors had commitments on multiple networks, and you could be starring in one show and in a supporting character in another. That would not have been uncommon at all. Or could it be that Zuckert and Webster took breaks in recording during which Wainwright's character took over? We just don't know. These episodes could be dated from any time during the show's 3-year run, although 1953 or 54 seems the most likely. So in the interest of full disclosure, I don't know. This is not a well-documented series, so we're just kind of doing the best we can. Listener comments and feedback, and we just have this one review by Alexis over on Good Pods. Alexis writes regarding the Green Gorilla episode of Ellery Queen. Unlike other crime radio, I find Ellery Queen the only one I have to pay 100% attention to. I can't multitask as I'll have no chance of picking who did it. I've some of the magazines about Queen, and they're a great source of old-time era mystery short stories. Well, thanks so much, Alexis. And Ellery Queen is great for that, particularly the old-school stuff. I subscribed to the magazine for a while. It didn't really speak to me. I think a lot of it didn't, the modern articles. But the older stuff is definitely really interesting. And you can sometimes find old collections of Ellery Queen magazine at thrift stores and things like that. I also wanted to thank Alexis for rating other stories. Alexis has rated episodes of Dragnet and Johnny Dollar, as well as The Falcon. So I appreciate you being an active listener and actively rating our stuff over on Good Pods. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Peter, Patreon supporter since March of 2023, currently supporting the podcast at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Peter, and that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And if you're enjoying the podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Squad Room, but join us back here tomorrow for Dangerous Assignment, where...
Hop aboard, Miss Devaney.
Thank you. Oh, this is wonderful, Mr. Mitchell. I could not have walked another step.
Well, keep your fingers crossed. I still have to start up this monster. First, a twist of the hairpin. Then, a one, a two, a three, and away we go.
Oh, quite an automobile, this, Mr. Mitchell. You?
I borrowed it in the village. Not much to look at, I'm afraid.
Oh, it is better than walking.
What do you think of the place?
I prefer to live in the city. Manila, Saigon, Singapore. Fine food, clothes, dinner parties, places.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, really?
I like to move around, see the world.
Have you seen much of it, Mr. Mitchell?
Quite a little.
A wonderful life to travel with a right company.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.